Beautiful day. We see the times changing. Weather's getting warmer. We see God's glory at work as the seasons change. But it's good to be able to come together no matter what the day is outside so that we can learn more about God's Word. Before we do, let's begin in word of prayer. God, our most righteous and heavenly Father, we come to you now at this time as we prepare to go through the conclusion of Ecclesiastes, that you will be with us, that we may be able to recollect the things that you have had caused to be written down. And we thank you, Lord, so much for your word and that avenue that we have of prayer to talk with you, Lord, that we may always realize that life itself on this earth is a blessing that comes from you, as is this earth and the greatness thereof. For we know that as you made this earth and all the things thereof, that you said it was good and that it was very good. We pray, Lord, that as we continue through this life, that we realize that it is only for a short time, and that we will realize that there are so much vanities in this lifetime, that we will search your word so that we may know what we can do that would not be vain in thy sight. And as we continue on, that we'll be able to pass on these teachings to those we come into contact with throughout our life. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. After many, 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 many weeks of study and thoroughly going through and around Ecclesiastes, I turned it over to the Attorney General, and he said there was no collusion, that there is no tampering with evidence, but there is a lot of vanity. And of course, we get that from God Himself, the one true Attorney General that we have, tells us how it is and lets us know what's right and what's wrong. So as we do study Ecclesiastes, or as we have studied Ecclesiastes, I hope that we've been able to take some of the things that we have thought and listed that we felt would be vain, can be vain, but basically, the things that we thought could not be vain or isn't vain, and we'll talk about several of those tonight, and we've been able to refine our list. We've been able to look at our life and the things that we do and have been doing with our life to decide what about my life has been vain. And I know I do it every day. You look at things and it's like, why am I doing this? Move on to something else. And so just the thinking that we get out of Ecclesiastes helps keep our mind on the right path as Christians, knowing that we have the glories here on this earth. We have life itself, which is a blessing we have from God. God made this earth, which is wonderful, because He said it was good, and He made man, and He said it was very good. And He didn't make man and then say, I don't want you to enjoy anything. I want you to enjoy life, and He wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labors. That doesn't mean eat, drink, and be happy, and don't worry about anything. But He wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labors. At the end of the day, we ought to be able to say that I am a Christian, and that I am at peace with God. If you can't say that at the end of the day, if you don't know that God wants you to have, or wants to have you in heaven with Him at any given time, then you need to examine why that is, why you feel it is, and change that in your life. Because every second that you go through life not knowing
is scary. Because we do not know if we'll make it through this class period before we pass away. We may live another 100 years. We just don't know. And so we as Christians have comfort in the hope that we have, in the surety that we have, the promises that we have, knowing that God is a just God, and He's laid out for us what we should do with our life. And so we study, we do what we can, we always, every day, better ourselves. We keep God in the forefront. That way we have the ability to say, I am a Christian and I am at peace with God. Now, just saying you're a Christian, but not living as a Christian, living in rebellion, is vanity. One of the biggest vanities. There's a lot of people that claim to be Christians, claim to be lovers of God, that don't live that way. And it's a sad thing. We need to keep them in our prayers every day. Competing with others and living for riches is vanity. We've studied that. We know that there's nothing wrong with having riches. As long as it hasn't been gained the wrong way. And as long as we are using those riches for the furtherance of charity, benevolence, and the gospel. And we're not talking so much about vanity in the sense of being vain and, you know, looking in a mirror and looking at ourselves, but sometimes, you know, as I said, make a list of things that are vanity. How much time do we spend in front of a mirror, primping and prepping and looking at ourselves and all? And sometimes I wonder if maybe this life would be better off without mirrors. Sometimes I don't know. I used to be able to look in a mirror, and now I kind of try and bypass it as I get older and all that, because my mirror has gotten warped over the years, and it just kind of is making me shorter and rounder, but such as it is. But the amount of time that we spend idolizing ourselves and caring about ourselves is talked about in Ecclesiastes and can be vanity.
Blaming it on the mirror is vanity too, isn't it?
Very much so. I think everybody that looks in the mirror and stuff probably sees Charles Atlas, or I know I posed that wrong or whatever, but wouldn't it be interesting if you could look in a mirror that would reflect your character? Now, we can look in a mirror that reflects our character. And we can look in a mirror that reflects what God sees in us by looking at the gospel. You read, you study it, you know it. And this will turn you inside out. This will show your character. Show you what God sees in us and what He expects in us. And so many of us may be scared at what we see if we could see our character in a mirror. Some of the other things that we talked about in Ecclesiastes and kind of going over a couple of things as far as list of things that are vanity real quick, just to sum up what Solomon said. But we want to look at just a couple of scriptures. Pride is one of them. In Jeremiah chapter 48:29, says, "We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his loftiness, his pride, his arrogance, and his haughtiness of the heart." In Isaiah 3:16-17, the Lord says, this is Isaiah 3:16 and 17, "The Lord says, The women of Zion are haughty, walking around with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, strutting along with swaying hips, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. Therefore the Lord will bring sores on their heads of the women of Zion. The Lord will make their scalps bald. In that day the Lord will snatch away their finery and bangles and headbands and crescents and necklaces. So we see pride and haughtiness are things that are vanity. Continuing on with pride in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 13. Proverbs 30, verse 13 says, "There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." And we continue on from generation to generation, and we hear the saying, oh, every generation's just getting worse. And we look back and we see what was going on with these people back in these times, and we see that the saying that nothing under the sun is new is very true. Proverbs 21:9, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. Back a few chapters in Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before a fall and a haughty spirit. I'm sorry, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we've heard this verse many times in lessons that we've heard on pride. Idolatry is something that's very big in this world. Several religions still worship idols. We can find the idols of different kinds, not just idols made of graven images and wood and ceramic, but idols that we worship could be riches, could be basketball teams, could be so many different things, could be other people that we idolize. So as we read through these about idols, think about that, not so much that it only being idols as he's really talking here, but it could be almost anything that you idolize. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, he tells them, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." So he's warning them at this time. In 1 Corinthians 10:14, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." So the Lord's not going to be telling us in His Word to flee something if it's something that we need, if it's something good for our soul. He's not going to tell us to flee, so we take heed. And that's why I said we need to read the Scriptures, understand the Scriptures, know the Scriptures, so that we know what we need to do, what the Lord wants us to do. And He tells us here, flee these things. Worldly pleasures. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world." So he tells us immediately right here, I didn't do this. This is you. You brought this into the world. You've allowed temptation to come into this world and fall into temptation and allowed sin to follow. Because the Lord did not bring in the desires of the flesh and desires of the eyes and the pride of life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And that's what we've talked about. Read your Bible. Read the Word of God. And then after you do that, then read some more. Then study some more. So that we know what we need to do in order to be transformed from this world and not conformed to this world. James chapter 1, verse 26. "If anyone among you thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, his religion is vain." That's one of the things that is on some people's list, is the what can be vain. Being religious can be vain if your religion is not according to what the Lord demands. and commands us to do. We're going to talk in a little bit about things in this world that are not vanity, and maybe a couple that can never be vanity. And we'll discuss that in a little bit, so be thinking about that as well. So if we're going to say that we're religious and we don't show it, then it's worthless. Job chapter 15, verse 31, Job 15, 31, let him not deceive himself by trusting what is worthless, for he will get nothing in return. So if we put our trust in something that's worthless and vain, what do you expect to get in return? But if you put your trust in the Lord, knowing the hope of salvation that we have, your expectations are just phenomenal. Yet so many people continue to put their trust in what is vanity, what is worthless. Psalm chapter 127, verse 2. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. You can correlate this in with Matthew chapter 6 and verses 24 through 32, I think it is. Just pointing out that you can work hard during your lifetime. And there's nothing wrong with working hard in your lifetime. But if you're doing it for vain glory, if you're doing it for vanity, for worthless, just gain of money, gain of stuff, gain of things, being anxious about worldly things, being anxious of what you're going to be eating and drinking, then he talks about this being folly. Put God first, for God gives rest to His loved ones. How many times have we been told that God will take care of us? He clothes the lily of the field. How much more will He take care of us? All right. Being conceited during our lifetime is talked about as far as being vanity. Galatians 5:26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this life's too short in the first place to start throwing in conceit, hate, unjust, lies, bigotry. Life's too short for this, and it has no place in a Christian's life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 warns us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. Sounds a little bit like the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. So, you look at the list that he just made, and you think, that's terrible. But if you look at the last thing that he says, these same people that do these things are having an appearance of godliness. So we're tasked not to just have an appearance of godliness. It doesn't do any good to have an appearance of godliness. You have to be godly. It's like putting lipstick on a pig. You could probably make a pig look decent. You put a dress on it, lipstick, makeup, whatever. It's still a pig. We need to be godly and stay away from these things. Not have an appearance of godliness. And as I'm up here, I'm always telling everybody, I'm always preaching to myself. And if it helps you all out, so be it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. We are tasked to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put earthly things away from you. Things under the sun, as Solomon talked about. In Job chapter 7, he understands here how his life is. And he says, and this is Job chapter 7, verse 16, I waste away, I will not live forever. Leave me alone, for my days are but a breath. We talked in Ecclesiastes about how everything was vanity. Life is like a breath, a vapor. And Job is telling them, you know, I understand my life is like a breath to the Lord. Over in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty? Again, he points out here, if you walk after emptiness, if you walk throughout your lifetime without God in your life, you're walking in emptiness. And if you walk in emptiness, what are you going to expect? You're going to expect nothing because you're going to be empty. This being said, those that do not believe that there's a God, that believe that after this life, you're just going to be put in the ground and there's no afterlife, no hope of salvation, there's nothing. I don't understand how they can have any fullness in their life, as that would just be an empty life and a hopeless life. I never understand that. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. And saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. So even back then, in their preaching to others, we are also men of the same nature as you. We preach the gospel that you should turn from these vain things. Nothing new under the sun. We see that there was a lot of vanity throughout this life. So nothing's new to us. As we go through life and we come up on difficulties and we think this is just too much to bear, we come up on temptations and we say, I'm just so weak. So first of all, we're admitting our faults. We know that we're weak in certain areas, so we at least know what to do and what to work on so that we can strengthen ourselves in those areas. What do we do with the little child whenever he starts ready to walk? He goes and he walks, and he lets go and he takes a few steps and he falls down. He may even fall down and hit his head or his arms, hurt himself. What do we do? Do we take them and put them in a playpen and never let them try and walk again? Get them back up, get them going. We teach them, we bring them along. It's human nature to progress, make ourselves better. And it should be in our nature as a Christian to always make ourselves better. And we have to understand that as Christians, we're going to fall. There's going to be times whenever we fall to sin. But we don't give up because we realize that we have that hope of glory. We have that avenue of forgiveness. And we continue to make ourselves better. Don't get me wrong. Man at his best, man that has everything in this world, is vanity without God. Man at his best is so much less than God. But God demands and expects us to be our best. And how do we be our best? Well, going back to it, we read, we study, we learn, and then we what? We obey. There's a lot of religions in this world today. Therefore, there's a lot of people who go to many denominations, many places, and learn a lot of different doctrines of men. Because people, there is only one doctrine of God. It's here. Anything other than this, anything outside of the authority of God's word, is doctrines of men. So professing to be religious is just not good enough. We have to show our Lord that we care, that we're grateful that He created us, that we're glad that He gave us this life on earth. So Lord, You gave me this life. What do You want me to do with it? There it is, son. Read it. It's there. There's a lot of people in this world, and we talked about this in some of our meetings that we had here recently. There's a lot of people in this world that have faith. They believe that there's a God. They believe that Jesus Christ came down to this world, died for our sins, that He is our salvation, and they have faith. But we understand that faith without works, faith without obedience, is vanity. I can be arm wrestling somebody and have all the faith in the world that I'm going to whoop them. I'm going to tear them up. But if I don't do anything when they say go, it's not going to go well. You have to have, along with that faith, you have to have works to accomplish what you need. And if anyone has issues with understanding that we must have works with our faith, then we need to study. Have no problems studying with anyone on that. Worldly possessions. We've talked about this so many times. Worldly possessions. Doesn't matter what you have. Don't belong to you. You may have it now, and you may say it belongs to you. But I know that the land that my house is sitting on used to belong to somebody else, and then it belonged to somebody else before that, and then somebody else before that. But you know what? God owned it originally, and He still does. Everything on this earth, everything here, we're not taking it with us. Giving. Now I'm going kind of through my list here of things that don't have to be vanity, that are good in themselves, but can be vanity if we do them wrong. Giving. If we give without love, without charity. What good is it? If we give grudgingly, what good is it? Well, I'm going to help them out. Or I'm going to go ahead and put... What good is it? We have to have love. We have to understand. We're doing the things that we do. Whenever we get together and we put our money here so that we can further the gospel, we are doing it for love. Love of other souls, love for God because we want His word to be preached around the world. And the realization that everything that is already His, we're just giving it back to Him. It's not wrong to have riches, not wrong to have these things, but if we received riches by ill-gotten gain, deception, falsehood, then of course we understand that that's wrong. That would really show the love of riches, for the love of money is the root of all evil. We talked about wisdom. Really, having wisdom shouldn't be vanity, having knowledge. But if it's worldly knowledge and it's worldly wisdom, it's vanity. It doesn't mean that it's bad. It's good to have knowledge. It's good to have wisdom, which is the ability to take that knowledge that you have and use it properly. But if it's worldly under the sun, it's vanity. If you use that wisdom to further the gospel, to keep yourself as a Christian, then it's not vanity. So we understand that all earthly things can be vanity. Being anxious for tomorrow, we understand that can be vanity. Being deceitful, lying, stealing, cheating, any type of sin can be vanity. It's not going to further our hope in God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 45 through 47, Moses says here, Deuteronomy 32, 45 through 47. And Moses made an end of speaking all of these words to all of Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whitherever you go over Jordan to possess it. And so he's telling you to do all these things. Pay attention to all these things which have been commanded, and do all these things. He didn't say some of these things. So that being said, the one thing that I can point out that is not vanity, and I haven't been able to find a way that you can use it in a vain way, is obedience. And maybe I haven't thought good enough, but I just haven't been able to come up with a way that I can use obedience to His commandments in a vain way. We understand that there's a lot of things: prayer, hospitality, kindness, love, teaching, giving, sharing, benevolence, acts of worship that we go through, listening to God's word, being an example, believing in God's word, having faith, studying God's word. But obedience entails all of this. These are just segments of what we need to be doing as a Christian. And obedience takes care of all of these things.
And being obedient to God's command is not vanity. Real quickly, and we'll end study on Ecclesiastes. People have often searched for the meaning of life. From the common man to philosophers, kings, and they always question, why am I here? What is the purpose of this life? We talked about those that presume that there's no God, no life after death, no purpose for living. Many people have concluded that, and they fall into despair. What Solomon taught us with his personal experiences and his God-given wisdom is that, yes, life does have an earthly perspective. We're on earth. We're here. Life under the sun. But life under the sun is truly vanity, because our goal is not to stay here on earth. Our goal is to be with God in the presence of God in heaven. It says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labors, for it is the gift of God. And that was Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. So we need to, as Solomon said, to continue to seek out acceptable words of life, words of truth. Take these things that are in the Bible, not just Ecclesiastes, and use them to goad us in life to do better, to prepare better. And then especially the truths from what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him to be a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 25. So with the help of Solomon and the help of Jesus Christ, we should be able to find the meaning of life in the hope that we have in this life, because it is here. It's in front of us all the time. All right, thank you.